With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
The Way Up North podcast is supported by Wooden Banana. Wooden Banana has delivered personalized wooden packaging for photographers since 2014 and has since connected with thousands of photographers from around the world. Their handmade wooden products range from CD and print boxes through to custom USBs, all individually engraved with your branding, giving your client delivery the love it deserves no matter where you are in the world. Wooden Banana has partnered with Way Up North for 3 events in a row and is offering a 10% discount on all their products using the purchasing code 110. So give them a look at woodenbanana.com or follow their store and Instagram via the hashtag woodenbanana. Thank you for listening to the Way Up North podcast. My name is Cole Robertson, along with Jakob Granqvist, founder of Way Up North in 2015. This podcast is hosted by Jenny Hamar, and in this conversation, she speaks with Erika Järdemark, one of the 10 presenters who will be in Stockholm this October at the big event. In this chat, Erika shares stories from her upbringing in a small town in Sweden through to her experiences with the Swedish royal family. She's tattooed, colorful, modest, and confident. Erika believes in trusting oneself and blazing your own path, and in this chat, you'll gain an insight into how this trust guides her through life. This conversation gets very personal, and as much as I was struck by Erika's openness, it also struck me what a great job Jenny did guiding the conversation. The two are close friends, but Jenny navigated the chat in an unbiased way and avoided getting too friendly with a close peer. Anyways, enough of me. Here we go. Jenny and Erika's conversation recorded in June 2016.
Hi, Erika.
Hi, Jenny.
How do you say your name in English? Erika, or do you say, I'm Erika?
I'm Erika.
I'm Erika. Okay.
Like, in a very Swedish way, because then it's my last name. It's like Järdemark. So it's like...
Right. So you're not one of those people who's like, hi, my name is Erika Järdemark. And they're like, whoa, what?
No, I actually say I'm Erika Järdemark, but it's... Every time I say it, it sounds very weird.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's well, a little bit of Swedish.
We know you, Erika Järdemark. And for those of you who don't know, I actually know you quite well. We're friends, and we usually speak Swedish, so this will be interesting.
Yeah, especially for me. You're actually very good in English, so... Well, since you have lived in the States, and I have not, so...
But you're, on the other hand, a world traveler now, and we'll talk about that later a little bit more than I am at the moment. Yeah. But so where you are right now, sitting in your gorgeous new apartment in Stockholm.
Yeah. I actually went home from my studio because I'm sharing this studio space with two architects and one other photographer and her sort of assistant. So I thought that for the recording, it would be more good to sit here when it's more quiet. Some days I sit alone in the studio, and some days everyone is there. So today was a day when everyone was there, so I felt like, let's better take a taxi home quickly.
You didn't feel like...
people were getting sort of, after lunch, there were people coming in, so yeah.
That's good. Well, you gave me a quick tour, and I mean, like I said, I do know you, and I know you have, like, amazing taste.
But thank you.
You have basically created, like, I mean, a beautiful space to live in, but also it feels so you.
Oh, like, thank
tell
you.
Me about, like, tell me about your apartment right now, where you are. Like, just look around and...
Well, it's a quite of a small space because I wish that I had a bigger apartment, but the apartments in Stockholm where I'm based is so expensive. So yeah. I barely afford a small apartment here. Just recently, I actually bought it last year, like the end of last year. So I've started to renovate the apartment ever since then. And it's like baby steps, but it's still like, yeah.
But you have like a theme of
like... It's not finished yet.
You have like cement and kind of birch tree and then some pastels and yeah. then like a neon just poster. I mean, like, where did you... I mean, how did you create that space?
Well, I have, I would say, like, I use a lot of Pinterest to actually define what I like and not like. Yeah. And then I have sort of a certain colors that are actually... attracts me when it comes to photography, but also when it comes to interior. And so
are they the same colors?
Yeah, I would say so. It's like pastels, like very pale colors, but also like neon pink very much. So I have like a mix of it and a lot of gray. And it's very, very nice to, it's actually my very first apartment that I actually own here in Stockholm. Mm-hmm. So it's my very first time that that I actually can create from like and do whatever I want from the from my heart. And that is so exciting, and I'm so, so happy that it's possible.
Yeah.
That it has been possible for me to do it. It's like, yeah.
That must feel, I mean, super empowering. And I mean, you really, that's a huge achievement to be able to buy a place in Stockholm that is like, most people cannot do that.
Yeah, it's very tricky. And yeah, I've been working for quite a long time, and it's still like, you need to have like in cash, you need to have put in a lot of money to actually get the loan from your bank.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're hard.
You know how it is.
I know how it is.
You're Stockholm based too, and I actually live in a place called Gröndal, like the Green Valley translated. And you, Jenny, you have lived here as well,
I have.
In the area. Yeah,
I think it's like not what like 100 meters from where you live now is where.
Yeah,
I used to
exactly.
Live. Yeah.
I can see your old house every time I'm walking to the tram, which goes to the tube, and yeah, it's great. I think it's actually your fault that I'm sitting here, because the first time I discovered Gröndal was when I visited you here.
Yeah.
So that's cool.
Cool. I love that. I love that you're in Gröndal. I have good memories from there.
Yeah.
So you mentioned, I wanted to pick up on something you said about the interior decorating and the colors and stuff, because I feel like you are also, as a person, like you are like your being is also in line with that, which means that you have like a brand not only through your work, but you know, the way your apartment looks, the way you look.
Yeah.
And I know you as, I don't, maybe this is not how you identify now, but I know you as like, I mean, you have like bright red lipstick or pink or like, you know, always wearing dresses and like neon,
yeah, I know. I agree with you. It's like a whole package.
Yeah,
it's just being me. I don't think I don't like separate that those things. It's like it's just me.
Yeah.
to be that person, and I like to visually. I like to express myself as a person, like the way I look or how my apartment look or how my photos turn out. But it has always been like that, I would say, like since I was like 12 or 13 when I really found it out that was pretty cool to have your own style and actually to be brave enough to have it, because especially here in Sweden, like everyone wears black you know, when it comes to,
yeah,
you know, where people actually, how they
if wear stuff. Like if something's trendy here, yeah, then everyone has
it. Yeah, I mean, it's very easy to pop out if you are me.
So that means that, like, when you were young, you discovered that, because the way you look is pretty important to you, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, it is.
Tell me about
sometimes
that.
Sometimes too important, but but it's just the way I am, and I like it. I like to you know, care about it. It's like,
yeah. That's
the feeling I get from it, like, to, yeah.
So
it's important for me,
but it's good. I mean, it's like you can tell, but I like it, and you're gorgeous. So, and you have like this image. It's really awesome.
Thank you.
So you said growing up, you know, was kind of, you felt like, oh, it was kind of cool to have your own style and stuff. But tell me if we back up a little bit, when were you born? When and where?
Well, I grew up in a small village outside Tierp. Sorry, I need just to... okay, dopo chi va a guardare. Vabbè, non so bene che le dà. Det var ju bra att den kom precis i... när vi skulle byta ämne. Jag bara kände, jag kan inte tala emot det. Jag kan inte. Okej. Okay. Du får ställa om frågan, tror jag, eller?
Ja, jag ställer om frågan. Tell me when and where you were born.
I was born in a small village called Tolfta, which is like located outside Tierp, which is about like 1.5 hours drive north of Stockholm. It's located, for those of you who know Sweden, located between Uppsala and Gävle. Okay. Yeah, so
when were you born?
1982. So I'm 34 years old now.
Okay.
And I lived in Tolsta until I was 16. And then I decided to go to high school and move to Uppsala and study photography for the first time. And that's why it all started, where it all started.
So before you made that move, what was it like growing up? Because I think even Tierp is a small town. You said you were outside of Tierp, right? I mean, yeah. You're in Tolsta.
What, it's just a few kilometers, but yeah. Sorry.
What was that like? What were you born into? I mean, siblings, your parents. I mean, what was life like there?
I would say a very safe world. I grew up with 4 siblings. I have 3 older brothers and 1 little sister.
Okay.
And my parents are still married.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like to add happily married, because they're like the cutest. They're still like hugging and kissing and, you know, are very sweet to one another. So it was very like safe and wonderful in one way. In the other hand, I always felt like I was the little black sheep in the family, because I was not like my 3 older brothers. So my parents, I struggled with my parents, and my parents struggled with me. So, and that was also one of the reasons I moved away from home quite early. And I'm very lucky that I was able to do that.
That's so, very early. I mean, 16 to like, what, you moved into your own place, or what did you do?
Yeah, I actually met a boyfriend who was 3 years older, and we got an apartment together in Uppsala. And obviously my parents contributed. How do you say that?
Yeah, contributed.
Yeah, thanks. With money, and I also got some help from my... how do you say, the community, like, to,
yeah,
how do you say that?
Poo. the government helped.
Yeah,
you.
Exactly. Because the travel between Tierp and Uppsala was so, the distance was so long from my home village to my new school. That's how it was.
That you were able to do that. But
yeah, exactly.
You said that you struggled with your parents. Is that like when you became like a teenager, like that kind of stuff? Or
mostly in my teenager years. But also I felt like my entire life, when I grew up, it was like I said, very safe. But in a way, my three older brothers, they were very like, they did everything sort of in the right way. So when I grew up, they were sort of never, away from home, going to sort of meet up girls or going to discos or whatever you call it, like being out late and stuff like that. So I just felt in a way very normal comparing to my friends. But my parents didn't think that because they were sort of used to my older brothers they liked to stay, they were doing sports, but they stayed home, and I was more like out and drinking and, out with boys and out with my friends and going to the two towns like Gävle and Uppsala and, doing, random stuff that you actually do as a teenager, like nothing really, too crazy, but a little bit crazy.
So what did they do? Did they say, like, did you have a curfew, like a time you had to be home? And did you break the rules?
Yes, I did, but not that much, I would say. But it was a bit of a conflict, and that sort of escalated when I was a teenager. And I remember when I was like, I think 11 or something, I wrote down on a paper, like, as soon as I can, I will move away from home.
Wow.
So, and then I did. And that actually had made a huge impact on me, I think, in my life, because I became very independent very early, and I think that has affected my business as well.
Okay.
In that way, yeah.
So you remember writing that note, like in like a diary or something?
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
That's so cool.
I don't think it was a diary, but it's like on a paper, like, I will remember this.
Yeah, like note to self.
This is my goal.
We all read these like how to become successful probably articles and books, and I mean they always say like to write down your goals is actually step number
one. That's a good one, and I actually achieved with that, and I'm very in a way very proud of how I managed to do it. I just felt quite early very, how do you say, grown up.
Mm-hmm. You were mature for your age probably.
Yeah, I was. I think so.
But now I know that you've actually brought your father on a trip that you've done recently. So that must mean you have a good relationship with them now.
Yeah. Everything changed. Actually, when I moved away from home, then my mom started to, make, cookies and, bread. Like baking.
Oh yeah.
Until I was like, Erica is coming and visiting, like we need to bake some bread and blah blah. Mm-hmm. So that's changed immediately after I moved away from home.
Okay.
Actually, so we have a very, very good relationship. It's like we really needed to appreciate each other, and And I really love my family and all my siblings. My family is very, very important for me, but it was not super easy to be me, like when I was living in Tulsa where I came from. So
would it be right to say that you felt like kind of trapped there?
In what way do you mean?
I mean, like did you feel like, I mean, I need air, I need more space, I need more, stimuli.
Yeah.
Was that the reason you left, or was it because you were felt like at home, you weren't allowed to do what you wanted to?
Yeah, I would say both of those things. I felt like I was not allowed to do what I wanted to do, and I just felt like I was different from my siblings. So when I started high school, I felt very relieved that I actually met people who liked photography and who were creative and who were more like me. Mm-hmm. Like, it's always like that when you feel like you're not alone with something, like a problem or like a vision or whatever it is. It feels very good to be together with other people that actually thinks the same. So
So one day you just discover, I mean, how did you pick photography? How did that come into your life?
I actually wanted to be some, you know, have a creative profession. Mm-hmm. And so I picked just between like becoming a hairdresser or a photographer. And everyone else in Tierp sort of liked to be a hairdresser. That was very popular. So I thought that photographer sounded a little bit cooler. So I picked the program and in high school, which I could study photography. Mm-hmm. And that's how it started. So it wasn't like I didn't grow up with like a camera in my hand or anything. It was just an idea that it sounded cool and to be a photographer.
Oh my God. So little did you know, it was like that would be the beginning to an international career.
I'm so thankful for everything that, you know, life has brought me on this road where I am today, because sometimes it's just so small decisions in life that actually get you onto new roads and new roads that you didn't really knew even existed. So when I think about it, it's like overwhelming to think that I could be, you know, a hairdresser living in Gävle, and yeah, nothing wrong with that. But I just feel so lucky that I picked something that I actually didn't knew anything about from the beginning. This is so cool with life, I think, that you can just, you know, there's so many paths that you can actually walk on.
That's so cool. I mean, I know you, but it's so fun to hear you. I usually don't interview you when we hang out. Usually,
exactly. And we don't really talk about like old stuff like this. And I don't think there are not that many people who actually know how I felt when I grew up. There was sort of, it was very good, but in a way I still felt like the black sheep, and
I can tell you get a little emotional talking about it.
But I don't talk about it that often. It's nothing that I'm ashamed of or anything, but and I think in my family they know exactly how it is. I'm just glad that the situation are different, so different today than it was before.
So when you go back to Tolfta, and I mean, do the people that you do, I mean, your family must know, but do people realize like what you do and how, I guess there have been a few recent things that have put you really on the radar of celebrity or whatever you say. I mean, like, okay, so you photographed a royal wedding recently.
Yeah, quite recently.
That must have been like for them a true sign of success. I'm just, now I'm generalizing, and maybe that's unfair to say, but I mean, maybe they don't know, maybe they don't follow your blog or are not like in the industry, but I mean, here in Sweden, the royal family is still like very big and people know what's going on. And I mean, what,
yeah.
Tell me about, first of all, tell me about how you got asked to do it. And then
I can't tell anything about it except sort of like I've done it.
Okay. Let me ask you this.
I wish I could tell you a lot of things about it. But I can just confirm that I've done it, but I'm not allowed to sort of talk about it or market myself with it.
I know. It's very private. But okay, let me ask you this then. How were you more nervous doing that wedding than any other, like a normal wedding?
I would say a little bit more than a normal wedding, but on the other hand, I thought like, you know, I know how to do this. And when you're photographing a royal wedding, it's also like you can't really move the way you normally move on a normal wedding, because they are like they are broadcasting the entire thing. So you can't really, you know, you have your certain spots where you can actually be. Mm-hmm. So I just knew that from my few sort of spots that I had, I just knew that I just had to do my best from that. But I couldn't really run around like a normal wedding. So yeah, I was nervous, but I thought like, yeah. I'm always like, in a way, I've done it for quite many years, like 10 years now. So it's, yeah. But of course, it was very special.
I
have to admit that, yeah.
And what about, like I kind of hinted at earlier, like going, you know, just your old friends. And then I wonder if there was anyone who was like, wait a minute. I thought she was just like some kind of struggling freelance photographer in Stockholm. I didn't know she was like huge.
I don't really know, but of course people have commented a lot, I would say. My brother actually texted me a message like a few days ago, because I've done another assignment for them, another photo shoot for them quite recently.
Yeah, you did a baby prince. Is it prince or princess?
Prince.
Prince.
Prince Alexander, yeah. well, my brother, one of my brothers, he texted me a message that's like, oh, it's, you know, there are so many people asking me if we are sort of relatives or not, because they have seen it in magazines and newspapers and all that stuff, because they are like press images. So
asking if you and your brother are relatives.
Yeah, people have asked him like, is Erica a relative to you?
Okay
stuff like that. So I'm really happy for them, for all the comments and so on, but I don't really know what people are actually saying.
No, of course.
About it. And but of course it's very big. I think it's bigger than I think, because I realize there's a lot of people here in Sweden that actually really, really love and actually following the royal family in the way that I didn't sort of realize before, I guess.
I guess there's like a couple different ways. Some people love it, some people hate it. And I won't even ask you what you think, because obviously you don't
bite
the hand
that feeds
you. I
love the royal family, of course.
Oh, yeah. Of course you do.
But I have to admit, I haven't really, you know, followed them that much, like more than anyone else, I think. Like,
yeah, you're not like obsessed with them.
No, I'm not obsessed.
Like something.
And that helped me a lot, actually, when I actually did the photo shoots that I've done for them. So I'm not that, you know, starstruck or anything. It's like they are normal, nice people.
Yeah. Well, that's good. I bet you, I can imagine that you have a like, you're good at, you know, having a good rapport with people, making them feel comfortable. I wonder, like, how much I should actually book a shoot with you because I'm curious about this. Do you give like a lot of instruction? I mean, how much do you, I mean, obviously say like stand there or there with the light or whatever, but how much do you actually direct the people that you photograph?
I would say during the portraits of just a couple during wedding day, very much. I always like have a plan for how to, you know, how to sort of proceed during the portraits. Yeah. Otherwise, not at all. Okay. But during the portraits. So I'm very like, do this, look there, walk there, like sit there.
So say you're doing this like Little Prince shoot with the baby. Are you like, you sit there, you stand there, you hold the baby, you do this? Or do you say like, just make yourselves at home?
Not really. Again, I can't really talk about that kind of, you know, the photo shoot for the royal family, but in general.
Oh, come on. They're not going to listen to this.
I would say I don't really say make yourself as home. Do you say that?
Yeah, no. Or like make yourself.
No, I don't even know how to say it. You heard it. Don't say
no.
Even if it wasn't Swedish. No, I'm very like, I have an idea, I look at the light, and then I just try to do like make them feel as comfortable as possible. And I think that's one of my biggest strengths as a photographer is that I'm very open and personal. Mm-hmm. It's very easy to get to know me. And I think I share a lot of stuff with the clients I photograph. I really try to be personal. So, and then it's more easy for the client to actually be comfortable in front of the camera. So, I think that's super important in my photography and how actually the photos turn out.
Yeah, I would say that is one of your strengths, definitely.
There's no sort of, how do you say, there's no wall between me and the client when I'm photographing. I'm very like, present and personal.
That's cool. I like that. So tell me about one of the things I have on my list of things, very few things on my list, because I knew it would be easy to talk to you, but tell me about your tattoos.
I
want to know all
I like
of
tattoos, especially on guys, actually. I wish I had more, but I just need to come up with a few more, you know, sort of pictures to or text to actually... tattoo, but I have one on my arm, quite a big one, and then I actually have my home village name tattooed on my foot, Tolsta. And then I have what else do I have? I have a knuckle tattoo, and then I have one tattoo on a secret little place.
Where?
Well, Jenny, you have to make love to me to see it.
Well, we have.
So
I think we have.
Let me know when you have time.
I haven't. Okay, if we've skinny dipped and I haven't seen it, that says a lot. Okay, well, I'm moving on. The one on your knuckle, your knuckle tattoo. What?
Yeah.
Tell me about it. Bam. I mean, it's in the photo of your presentation for Way Up North too. I mean, it looks like. You must identify with it. Where does it come from?
It actually comes from, I just came up with that idea. First of all, I think knuckle tattoos is, you know, I love it when I've seen it on other people. And then I just came up with the bam thing and I was like counting, what, like 1, 2, 3, yeah. It could be like on my all four fingers, like, not my thumb, but that is a sign for like the force I have inside me. Like, it's actually the sound of something. Well, if you hit something, like, bam.
Yeah.
So
it's I'll just say BAAM.
Yeah, exactly.
On your, like, fingers.
So it's something to describe the force that I have as a person, because I really believe that you have, you create your own life, and I don't trust anyone else. I don't believe in God, for example, to sort of fix my life. I need to fix it myself and to create the best I can with my life. And that symbolizes the force that I'm able to do it.
That's, yeah.
Do you have any tattoos?
Oh, that's for next time. That we'll do that over a glass of wine. But I love that, because there's, like, humor in it. I mean, a little, like, not humor, but there's, like, a, what do you call, like, little sparkle of the eye kind of, but at the same time,
yeah.
A very serious, like, because you're so feminine and you have, like, this blonde hair and the, and then this, like, bam, tattoo. I love that contrast.
Yeah, and it's actually my trigger finger as well when I'm photographing. So every time I have the camera up, people actually see it.
Yeah, that's kind of.
And I didn't really thought about that when I did it, but then I realized, oh, it's the same hand. It's my right hand.
So when you're planning this life, you talk about, you know, creating your life.
Yeah.
What does that look like? Would you say that your focus right now is on your career, or is it, like, on your personal life, or is it, what does that kind of work-life balance and future planning look like?
I would say my focus the last sort of 2 years has been on my personal life, I would say, because I feel like I have gone through a big change on a personal level. Since I broke up with my sort of last boyfriend, and for the better, it was really necessary because I was really working too much. And ever since then, I felt like my life has been in a new direction, sort of. And I'm very happy for that change, because I really felt that I needed to change. And, yeah.
So that, your focus was on work, and then...
A lot of work, actually. And then I realized I couldn't really work that much. It was not worth it. So then I started to... realized that I needed to change, and I actually did a change. And one part of it is this new apartment, and it's just, like, small things. Like, I've cut my hair. I've had long hair for, like, 20 years. I've cut it. It's, like, a big thing for me. Just done things, like, bought very many new clothes, for example. Like, the style is a little bit different. Like, everything is, like, I just felt like I needed to change in so many ways. And I feel like I've always been, like, a very, very, like, happy person. But I feel like even more now, like, I really sort of, the balance between work and the personal me is better. So, yeah.
That's good. I know you as somebody who can, you know, just work night and day, spend like an hour on one image, but maybe that's no more.
Not really. Actually, my ex-boyfriend told me, like, you must be the best person to just have kids with, because... You have sort of no limits when it comes to, like, sleep, and, you know, you can just push yourself very hard, and and that's very much true. I if I really want something or have a vision, I can work very hard without complaining. Mm-hmm. So that's good.
But did you feel like did you kind of hit a realization? Was there like a lowest rock bottom for you, or was it just like, oh, okay, yeah, he's right, I should change? I mean, usually these kind of big changes happen through kind of more tougher circumstances.
I felt 2 years ago, that was my sort of lowest point, like, oh, the sort of well-being, do you say that?
Yeah.
So it was not just like, oh, I need to change it. It's like a little bit too much. It was very much, I didn't felt good at all after the separation. So I really started to work with myself. So, and that really didn't happen overnight, but it was kind of, I think to be sort of thankful for the life that we have, or I have, I think you have to sort of hit the bottom to actually appreciate it. And that was my sort of lowest in my life as far until today that I've felt. So I think that was sort of the key to my change, that I actually hit at the bottom that much that I actually did. And without that, I didn't think that I could really appreciate and be thankful in the way that I am today when it comes to, like, everything.
Did you write anything like you did when you were 11 at that point? I mean, was there anything you're like, I will?
Maybe. No, I didn't write anything. I don't think so. Not as far as I can remember. It was a tough period of time, and it was actually also in the beginning of the wedding season, which wasn't that good. But you, in a way, I guess when you don't feel that well, it's kind of great also to just have something to do. Like, I worked a lot, so So I think I will be better, like a better girlfriend next time.
What will you do differently? Work less.
Oh, not work. Well, like, spend time with my boyfriend would be a good option.
Yeah,
which I didn't.
That's kind of important. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good thing if you have a relationship.
Definitely.
For sure I will work less. Yeah. And yeah, I do it already, so.
That's good. You seem really, like, in balance, I think.
Sorry, I didn't hear you.
I mean, you seem to me really in balance, looking at you and hearing you talk. I mean, it sounds...
Yeah, I feel great.
You're wearing, like, workout clothes.
Should you really bring that up?
Does that mean
I'm not a workout girl at all, even if I've been a workout girl in the past, but
does that mean you're heading out for like a walk or something? Or
because I was first when I went to my studio this morning, I didn't wear those clothes, and then when I realized I can't really sit there to record this, it's too noisy, so then I went home and like, yeah, I should, you know, take a walk later on, like, for at least 1 hour. So I better bring some comfortable clothes on when talking to Jenny. So
that's why.
But normally I actually bought this like two days ago. I'm not kidding. So I've just started to be a workout girl again. Well, at least like take a walk,
Just like working out. I mean,
yeah, a long walk. Like, when you can actually be a little bit more warm.
That's really good.
So I was actually a sport person when I grew up. I played football and floorball, especially floorball on a quite high level, like the highest level, actually.
What's floorball? Is that like floor hockey or no? What's floorball?
In Swedish, it's innebandy.
Okay. Is that floor hockey?
No, you don't say floor hockey. It's not hockey. It's not. You're not on ice. You're not. You're indoors with a ball.
Yeah, but.
And a stick.
Okay. It sounds fun.
but
you did it like a lot. I mean, you were like competing and stuff, or what?
I played when I was like from 16 to 22. I played like in Division One and how do you say, like the top.
Yeah, like Elite Series or something.
Sorry.
Elite Series.
Yeah, exactly. Like for 1 year. And. I was really like a sport person, but I honestly can't really define myself as a sports person any longer. I don't really think it's so much even fun to look at sports, like floorball or hockey or football. American football, though, is quite fun,
What do you do?
I feel like I'm a completely different person than I was when I was in that period of time in my life. Yeah.
It sounds like a total 180.
Yeah. But even then, actually, people were like, looking at me, people were like, are you really a sport person? You don't look like one.
Are you?
Yeah, because I was wearing,
heels.
You know, non-sporty sort of traditional clothes.
Yeah.
That you expect like a sports person to wear,
when they're not sporting.
Yeah, exactly.
But what do you do now for fun? Like, what's the day off for you? What would you
I would do,
and be honest.
Sorry?
And be honest.
Yes, I will. Most of my time is actually spent in my apartment, renovating the apartment, because I'm doing a lot of stuff by myself. And music is a very like a big thing in my life. So I like to go to concerts, and just generally listen to very much music. And also I do longboarding.
Oh, right.
And that is actually quite fun with the longboarding thing, because I started to do longboarding with a bride that I photographed back in like 2007 or something like that. And I didn't really know her before, but we connected on Twitter. So we follow each other there. And then she actually tweeted like, hey, is there anyone who would like to start to like do skateboarding with me? And then I replied, well, if we can say longboarding, then we have a deal. And then I tweeted like to everyone like, hello, is there anyone here that actually know a longboard teacher? Where two ladies over here would like to learn. That was so funny. And then a guy from Gothenburg replied like, yeah, no, really great guy, Christian, like inboxing him on Facebook. And so I did. And then he added another girl. So we were actually, we started a longboard group. And it became in the beginning quite serious, because we have two teacher, like really professional, like longboard people that we didn't knew at all, and three ladies. But then two of them got pregnant, and you can't do longboarding when you're pregnant. And when you have kids, I guess you know yourself how life actually is. You don't really have time to do longboarding if you have like small kids. So I've continued a lot by myself doing that. But it was kind of cool that Emma and I started this.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Twitter and Instagram and Facebook are sometimes so cool.
I know that you've had a lot of things have happened to you thanks to, Twitter above all, I feel like.
Yeah, a few things actually.
How do you use Twitter?
Honestly, today I don't use Twitter that much. But I've sort of always, tweet something. Nowadays, I would say I mostly post things about music.
Okay.
About, songs I'm listening to or, but I've sort of, I always struggled with Twitter, but then I, keep on hanging there. So, and I think that's one of the most important things that you need to do, because often it seems like, no one has really, replied to this or liked this or whatever. And you feel like you're talking to sort of a no one, like a wall. Mm-hmm. But then I think you just need to continue to, post things. It's just the same thing with your own blog. Like, oh, you don't have a comment on this, or who actually saw this, or is there anyone who ever goes to my web? It can be a little bit like that sometimes.
Yeah.
But I believe when it comes to social media and, of course, your website, you just have to continue to, post things and to be visible there. And in the end, it will, great things will happen. Like all my Bali weddings, like the weddings I've done in Bali wouldn't have happened if it wasn't for Twitter, because the first bride, she found me through Twitter. And that's like the key couple for all my weddings in Bali.
So, and how did she find you on Twitter? Like, tell me about that.
I don't really know, but for some reason. I don't know exactly what kind of hashtag she clicked on or whatever she searched for, but she ended up on the link to my website on my Twitter account.
So you had posted something that linked to your blog or website on Twitter.
Yeah, but you always on Twitter, you always have like your link to your website. It's like on Instagram. If you go to my profile, you know, easily click to the link to my website.
And Bali, now you go there. How often do you go to Bali? It's one of the things that pops up, actually. If you Google search Erika Jademark.
Oh, really?
Like you do that, and you know how it gives suggestions. It has Bali and Photoshop.
Ah, all right. Okay. Well, I've been there, like the first wedding I photographed there was in 2012. So I think I've been to Indonesia like 12 times since then.
Okay.
Yeah. Like 11 weddings on Bali and like one in Jakarta.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
So you're a regular there?
Normally a few times a year at least.
Yeah. And what's it like to do weddings there and abroad? You do outside of Sweden too. What would you say, why is that fun? And is it harder, different from the Swedish, like super outgoing Swedes?
No, the people are very, very nice. And I always feel very appreciated when I actually get there. I feel like they really have picked me. It's not that cheap to fly me there. So when I get there, I feel like sometimes I get treated very like a little bit like a little princess sort of, because they are really happy that you're there, and yeah, I feel appreciated. And I would say the difference, or it's fun because it's a completely different environment from Sweden and from Stockholm, and it's much warmer there, you know, and my skin type is very like light. Yeah. So, and I very easily get red in my face. Like, so even if I'm not in the sun, I'm just warm. Like, several times people have actually, like guests have come up to me and said, like, are you okay? And I was like, yeah, I'm just Swedish. I'm okay, but I'm just red in my face because it's super hot. Not that I'm like sunburned or anything, like I'm just warm. So you can just skip to wear makeup because it's all a mess because it's so hot.
It's so hot. So a little bit different from photographing weddings here, for sure.
Yeah, it is. And I will also say that normally the biggest difference, I would say, must be like at like 6:30, it's completely like pitch black. So even if you're photographing like an outdoor wedding, it's like you just have everything is just dark.
Yeah.
And in Sweden, especially during the summer month, you can have it's could be light at like 9 or almost 10 p.m. So you really have to plan the day and think about when actually the light is ending. So normally it's very stressful because normally I do the portrait sessions after the ceremony. And in Sweden, it's very common to do the portrait sessions before the ceremony. So they, you know, the guests don't have to wait and stuff like that. But so normally it's when you do wedding support, it's different from here because you just have to work very fast and you don't have, in my opinion, enough time to be super creative with the photos because it's like, yeah. Comparing to Swedish weddings,
right? But how much do you get to also in the Swedish, but also Bali weddings? How much influence do you have in what time of the day the shoots will be, the portrait session, I should say?
Well, I would say not that much at all.
Okay.
Actually. I prefer to have more time than to have the best light. It's good that if you can have both, but normally, you know, I don't do sunset photos during a wedding. Maybe I can just grab a couple of few minutes to do it, but normally it's just, you just have to first, like, when are they getting... Which time is the ceremony, and then you just have to sort of make the portraits out of there. And often in Sweden, it's before, and abroad it's always sort of after.
Yeah.
But it's not that. Yeah, they always have a time schedule that sort of I need to fit in somewhere. But I wouldn't say that I adjust the time that much. It's more like. The couple could, they think that they like 30 minutes are okay, but I would say like for the portraits, I prefer like if I can decide, I would like to have like 1.5 hour to do the portraits.
Yeah. Okay.
Especially if the portraits are before the ceremony, just not to be stressed, but I say at least 45 minutes. If you want the type of photos that you see in my portfolio,
I can tell you've said that to some clients.
Sorry?
I can tell you've said those words.
Oh, like if so you want
what you're seeing
so
here,
times.
You need 45 minutes to get in the in the zone.
Because I don't want to be responsible to bad photos if they have, you know, planned the timing, you know, not so good. Like,
poorly.
We have 10 minutes, like, it's your fault. We don't have, you know, the portfolio, mm-hmm. you know, shots that we see, that we saw in your, like, on your website.
Right.
That would be terrible.
I totally understand that. So what does your summer look like now? What do you have going on ahead of you besides coming out to see me in the very near future?
Yeah, I hope so, Jenny. I'm actually, I've been traveling a lot this spring, so I'm looking forward actually to do a lot of weddings here in Sweden in June and in July. So I will, most of the time I will be home here in June and July.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really looking forward to this summer because I feel like I'm really in balance, like on a personal level. So yeah. And also when you have, I just recently had a very intense period of work. And also when traveling, it takes a lot of time, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sort of like, whew, I'm home. Even if I love traveling, it's when you have the contrast, when you actually can, I never do editing or anything sort of when I'm out traveling. So I need to be in my studio to do it. So when you have done a lot of photo shoots, you just, you know, looking forward to actually to take care of the photos in Photoshop.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Because,
and to deliver the photos.
And obviously, since Photoshop is one of the other most searched things on Google, it's obviously something people are curious about because you put a lot of time into and care and love into all the images you edit, right?
Exactly. I do.
Do you, like, how many minutes do you spend on each image? Can you even say that? Or is it?
Yeah, I actually counted on that, especially 2 years ago, when I realized that I have to work less and be less like a perfectionist.
Mm-hmm.
So I counted that I need to spend maximum 6 minutes per picture, per photo, to earn the money I want, comparing to how much, you know, time I spent on each photo shoot.
Right.
So I know sometimes when I'm sitting with big photos that takes 10 minutes or 15 minutes, but then I maybe have an image that takes 1 minute. But like in general, I need to sort of have 6 minutes. But when I see like the clock is like ticking up to like 10 minutes, and I just think like, shut it down. Like enough.
Save and flip.
I really have to remind myself even today, even if I started to work like with a six minutes rule 2 years ago.
But wait, are you saying you have like a timer every time you open an image?
No, not every time, but quite often I actually look at the clock. Like,
okay, yeah.
Especially if I'm stressed or if I feel like, you know, I'm under time pressure, then I can like, okay, I really need to focus now. Like, just have a quick look at the mm-hmm. clock on my computer and then just like, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I bet you probably will get some of those questions that way up north for sure. But your style is like super unique and so like calm. I mean, it's just, I'm again kind of struck by how it's like walking and seeing you in your apartment now. It's like walking into one of your images. And definitely,
thank you.
Good brand.
Yeah, I really have stayed true to my style, and that is one of the reasons, you know, things that have turned out quite well for me. So I really think that you should, you know, stick to a style.
Yeah.
Yeah, and go for it.
It's, I wonder if by you creating that kind of awesome space that you have now in your home, albeit small, but really beautiful, if that's contributing to you spending less time at the studio and also getting that more work-life balance. I mean, having that like sanctuary.
Yeah, I think so, actually. I don't have any children. I don't have a boyfriend. So it's one of the reasons to feel like I want to be home.
Yeah.
Even if there's no one here waiting for me. So, it really makes me so happy that I have this little space.
Yeah, it's awesome. All right, great. Well, I think this was such a nice chat. I am so happy that I got to like ask you these questions and like hear about you. I mean,
yeah, it was so nice to talk to you, Jenny. It was a very like different kind of thing than we normally yeah. I never Skyped with you before.
We've never Skyped. We've never just hung out in this way without wine. Although I've had 3 glasses of wine during this interview. I hope that's okay. No, I'm just kidding. I think you've come such a long way. It's interesting and inspiring to hear that I love your BAM. I mean, that's...
Yeah, thank you.
What can I tattoo to my knuckles now? No.
Yeah, you have to get another child. Then you can just type in there, like, the first letters on each.
I have 3 kids and a husband. That's a good option.
Yeah, you can take your husband's name.
I could do that, yeah. Well, I look forward to your presentation, and thanks for being so open.
Oh, thank you. It's been so nice to talk to you, and I'm really looking forward to October.
Me too. We partied pretty...
Please hold my hand, because I will be nervous.
Yeah, okay? But then I'll hold your hand, and then you know that people are just going to be like super curious and love your work, and these are people who are just like your fans, basically.
Well, at least they know now how my Swedish actually sounds like, so
you'll be great.
It's a mix of Swedish and English.
Let's just speak English from now on, and then we're leading up to it, and you'll be fine. All right, thank you, Erica. This was so much fun.
Yeah, I think so too.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.